Here's a liner to right. Sliding is Hernandez, and he comes up with a tremendous sliding grab. Kevin Gausman loves it. He just robbed Franmil Reyes of an extra base hit and denied the Cubs a second run.
I mean, it's a good play, and he's a good player. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, when he's 100%, that's the kind of player that he is. You know, whether it's a three-run homer to right field or making a play like that, he has all of the physical skills in the world, you know, matching up against anyone in the league. So if he's doing that, that's great. You know, that's, again, he's a really talented dude. And, you know, obviously it was a huge play in the game. So we get that from him going forward. I like it.
Hey, Oscar Hernandez. Redemption game. It was raining more than just loony dogs and rain at the Rogers Center yesterday. Raining home runs. Raining a little victory over the Chicago Cubs and Marcus Stroman. It's the Fan Morning Show. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish on this beautiful hump day. Jays are stringing together wins. What a feeling.
Two-thirds of the way from erasing the weekend. I guess you're not really erasing the weekend at this point. It's got to be better than 500 down the stretch with all these important games coming up. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, licking the wounds, sweep away the Cubs and be feeling a little better.
Series
the roller coaster continues because things just seem to be absolutely up or absolutely down, although it's been tooth and nail these last two games, but they've managed to get the job done.
I think there's a lot to be said about grinding it out when things are not going your way. We saw that Monday night, a little bit of resilience in this team. Saw that last night, finding a way with some players that really needed a moment. Teoscar Hernandez being that guy. Post game, lots of clips about him. You could see the elation to get a little bit of positivity in his game because he has been a major circle for fans, for media, about what is going on with Teoscar, his foot injury, the lack of effort that we discussed. And last night, great strides forward to helping us feel better about him.
Yeah, definitely. You could kind of see, you know, what we've been talking about over the last few days and what people have been talking about on Blue Jays Central and Blue Jays Talk Plus, all in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, you could see Teoscar with, like, I don't want to say, like, oh, all of a sudden he's trying hard, but mm-hmm. there wasn't really a misstep, and we saw that on his defensive play. We saw that at the dish.
Oh, great diving save.
I guess the biggest example of, like, process that we saw was, like, Vladdy. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Vladdy first pitch swinging or mm-hmm. being a little bit more loose at the plate or, you know, just not being as dialed in.
Getting the ball off the ground is a great start.
That would be a great start. Not being as dialed in. So you see literally him reminding himself of what the swing should look like or mm-hmm. should feel like coming out of his hands. And 10 seconds later, he's putting a home run into the opposite field seats. So good examples of, hey, let's remind ourselves that we're in this, that we need to be locked in. Mm-hmm. And between Teo and Vladdy, you saw that play out in real time and you saw the results of that process.
It's got to be a huge confidence boost for those guys, for the team, for the fan base, when you can really seemingly bounce back and you're not beating yourself. And that's the thing that's been the most frustrating with the Blue Jays is they were beating themselves. They're playing lowly competition and losing. It's not that the Angels came in here and had the best series of their lives. They performed over expectations, but that wasn't the reason the Blue Jays lost. It was because they were making errors and they were beating themselves and they let it affect them to the magnitude that they look like a little league team at times. And in the last two games with the Cubs, they've been making fewer mistakes. They've been able to correct some of the areas that were so shocking for fans to see. And that's the steps you need to take. You can, yes, we can plan the parade after two Cubs wins, but that's who they're playing. And it would have been a very drastic conversation if they had lost these two, but we've talked about how this is the soft part of the schedule. So you can only play the teams you're playing and you can only beat them in multitude of different ways. they've had their the most amount of comeback wins in the entire AL. 32 comebacks. That to me is a huge character narrative that I actually really didn't hear that much. That's now a stat that's popping around the internet. 32 comeback wins.
It sort of belies what we might think about that team.
I find like that when I saw that, surprising. I was
like, okay, is that a lot? I guess it is when you think about
the
it.
Most like, I don't AL.
If it's the most in the AL, then it's certainly a lot, or it's above average.
But they're
well above
that average. Means that they were losing a lot of games. But that also means that
falling behind in a lot of games.
Correct. But it also means that they're finding a way. That's a positive.
It certainly is. And it takes something to be able to come back in games. Like, I think the more impressive thing about these last two victories is that certainly coming off such a bad weekend where you were in your feelings a little bit, I guess, or just not reacting the way that you needed to, when you fall behind, it's history repeating itself and you can just sort of mail it in. But the fact of the matter over the last two games is that they've been able to sort of fight through that adversity, come up with the big hits when they needed it, and get good innings when they needed it just to keep things within reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been basically playing from behind for the last five games, and they've managed to turn that into back-to-back victories despite having to play from behind for the majority of it. And that's character. And I guess that's one thing that you see it, you can do it, or you've done it and you believe you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that many comeback victories, I guess you can believe that you can hang around. And that's one thing to build on for sure. I think there are different like warts that they've got to deal with, certainly. But maybe playing from behind is an area in which they are comfortable in. And I think at least we saw that the last two nights, especially, and it's more important because you could have told yourself, hey, we just don't have it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then things get
frustration
from bad to worse.
Starts to bubble. And we've seen that with this team.
Exactly.
At the beginning of the season, it feels like ages ago, as it was, there was like a month or two where they won so many one-run games. And it was like, we'd come on the radio and be like, oh, they won another one-run game. Like, you can count on the Blue Jays to lock down a one-run game. I wonder, and this could be a stretch, if that idea, knowing that you have done it multiple times at the beginning of the season, being able to hold on, being able to come back, is still something that lingers with this team, whether it's subconsciously or not. You're never really out of it. You can find a way. And how much of that falls on Jordan Romano's shoulders, to me, he has been a quiet force in this entire league. Like, he's one of the best closers in baseball right now.
Most certainly.
Fourth appearance of four innings plus this month. That's something that never was something that Charlie Montoyo really gave the opportunity to. I know there were different parts of the season, so it's hard to compare what Charlie Montoyo was doing months ago to what John Schneider has to do right now, as these games are a little bit, hold a little bit more magnitude. One earned run in 25 outings at the Rogers Center. Like, when the lights go down and Jordan Romano, hometown kid, comes out to the Laser Fest and the crowd is pumping and it's red and dark in there, honestly feels like it's a lockdown win. And how can you not feel that way? This guy has been so consistent and so good. And now doing the multiple innings, I think that's a huge adjustment as a closer. And he wants it, though. He goes at the peat. He's like, put me in. Like, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
That's confidence. That's something that the team certainly notices.
I don't know if it's desperate times at desperate measures or whatever, but because we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty desperate, but we're not at the point where, you know, in playoff baseball, where all of a sudden the starter that pitched 2 days ago is going to give you four innings if you need it.
I
in
said
a
four
do or
innings, but
game.
I meant four outs.
No, I mean, like, just it's just in general where you kind of throw out the rules. You throw out the rules when postseason baseball comes around.
It's like, usually it's this guy comes in and does three outs, boom.
Yeah, everyone stays within what their mm-hmm. normal roles are, because if you do that for too long, if you stretch those rules, you get into injury concerns mm-hmm. and overuse and all that stuff. So everyone stays within their roles for a certain amount of time, and normally for a closer, that is just those three outs that you're responsible for. But as things get more important as the pressure ramps up, as the games become more important, you've got to sort of break those rules a little bit, or you have to stretch those rules. And not that, you know, four outs for a closer is this like incredible,
but four
extraordinary
times
thing.
In 1 month.
But it's now his responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's something that he's got to take on a little bit more if you're going to put your best foot forward. And that's certainly what the Blue Jays are looking to do. They had to close out that game in a different way because Jimmy Garcia wasn't available. Simber, not available. Mm-hmm. So they went with Trevor Richards in the eighth, which was, you know, not usually his role. But in order to make all that work, it required a little bit more of Jordan Romano, who you mentioned is willing to give you a little bit more. And certainly we're just going to see him up in bigger and bigger and bigger spots. And maybe it's five outs. It's probably not. But like you're going to have to use him if you need to use him over eighth and ninth inning, because you have to get to the finish line, then so be it. And as long as he's able, willing, more Jordan Romano is always a good thing. How is that light show, by the way? I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the light show?
No.
God, it's electric.
Is it?
Yeah.
It can't be Timmy Trumpet, but.
Oh my God, I got Timmy Trumpet coming up in this show.
Okay.
Obsessed.
I'm glad. I haven't seen that yet. He was there yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
Don't talk about it.
Okay.
Tease it for the A-list. It's awesome. I thought, okay, this guy, like, it could be cheesy because he's hometown guy. The first time I saw it, I think we saw it home opener. I was shocked. And the Rogers Center put in new lights, and they did a bunch of stuff in the offseason. Obviously not their major renovations coming, but it was sick. That guy's running out there being like, I'm the hometown kid. I got the best stats in the AL. I just saw on the screen that he's got two less saves than the top leading guy in the AL. But it's like 28 versus 30. Like, that's a...
And I think if you dig into like the quality of saves, you can literally break down any metric and
save that
spin
for
it for whatever. But I think you mentioned one-run games, comeback games. Mm-hmm. That those are more stressful situations.
Or like sometimes in extra innings, he's in there with like the stakes are high. There's a guy already on second base,
exactly.
And he doesn't waver.
So it's a little. This guy is nails.
Nails.
He's been nails for the Blue Jays, and you know the fact that he's willing to come in the eighth doesn't faze him in the ninth. He's been a huge, huge part of the Blue Jays' success. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the story of this season, comebacks big, one-run games big. A lot of that is on Jordan Romano, who is performing as one of the best closers in the game right now and throughout the season.
John Schneider mentioned some of this after the game about how much of a benefit it is that Romano is able to push those innings and those outs. So we have that clip.
He obviously knows when it's coming, and you know his routine, I think, in between those innings is awesome. He goes in the tunnel for a little bit, and then he kind of reemerges with two outs, and he's ready to go. But I think great closers are able to do that, and he's definitely one of those.
Great closers. Like, how much do we undervalue a guy that you don't see so often, but you see and you're like 0% worried? 2% worried. That is something in this team that I don't think we've really felt, other than maybe Chapman and Springer down the line, of being locks to perform. I don't know who Manoah, their starting pitching right now has been good enough to get them through games, but someone that you circle as like, yep, this person is going to come in and deliver every single night.
It's funny because I would put Kevin Gausman in that category, but like it's the results are hand-in-hand with that confidence, with Jordan Romano certainly. But Kevin Gausman, I feel that way about him, like very comfortable when he's on the mound. But the same story of his season manifests itself last night. Like he makes only a couple mistakes, they both go out of the park.
Yeah.
Like he, I mean, so many references yesterday, broadcast, radio, all across, about the BABIP and the fact that he gets everything. When
Seriously,
he gets hit,
no.
When he gets hit, it finds either the seats or the grass consistently. Mm-hmm. And that's literally exactly what happened to him. He was dealing at times. He was very, very good. But he made a couple mistakes. Untimely as well. I think they just tied it. And he gives up a home run.
Yeah.
Go ahead right away.
Not still, like, but that, then the stats are, like, the stat line's still incredible.
Stat
like,
line's
nine
still
strikeouts.
Exactly.
Like, he goes multiple innings strong.
His start was a microcosm of his entire season. and it keeps happening. And it's like, you can't really understand it. Other than if the mistake is that bad, then the opposition is going to take advantage of it and put it in the seats.
I mean, we've had the conversations earlier in the season about tipping pitches, and that's kind of quiet now. We had conversation, I think it was even last week, about his velocity being down. Well, he hit 98 last night. So the tweaks and the modifications have been seen, but you're right. When it when it's a bad moment, it's a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
And bad luck.
Fortunately, when you have only a few bad moments, there's not runners are not on base when you're giving up those
it's true.
Home runs. So
I'll take a one-run home run.
Yeah. More ideally, yes. if you're Kevin Gausman, but because his start was otherwise pretty dominant, mm-hmm. the Blue Jays were only trailing by a little bit, and they didn't have to come up with the magic, although they did come up with the runs anyway, that they needed the previous night, where they'd fallen behind a little bit more. So I still have that confidence in Gausman. Like,
oh, I hope so.
There are like. We talked about the Manoah start. We know who's coming next. And I think there should be, I think Blue Jays fans should have confidence in what's coming next. I mean, if there's positive regression candidates out there, it's Kevin Gausman, right?
Mm-hmm. Coming next tonight, Mitch White. Still just a mixed bag of what to expect. A lot of people texting in about how much Jordan Romano makes. Like $700,000. He's the third lowest paid player on the team. This is Chris in London.
Mm.
He's always up early grinding. He is a found gem, a hometown kid that kind of came out of nowhere. Jeff from Niagara Falls even mentions that he was exposed in the Rule 5 draft. You forget that. Could have been long gone. And he is certainly a little diamond in the rough at times. So Jordan Romano, that most valuable player at times on this team.
And certainly is. And found money, like we're talking about Stroman, we haven't touched on Stroman yet. But Jordan Romano was one of the guys referenced by Stroman. Like mm-hmm. he's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been playing a prominent role for the Blue Jays for a while. But homegrown, gone through the system, now has the light show as the Blue Jays closer and performing very, very well. I mm-hmm. think... You know, we've thrown around team MVP. We've talked about Ross Stripling as team
Ross
MVP
Stripling.
Earlier. And Alec Manoah has to be in that conversation. And Vladdy Guerrero, despite his floor ceiling,
yeah.
or floor season rather,
he's lower
is immensely important to this team. Like, there are candidates for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Romano is one of those candidates.
Last night, Vladdy gets a much-needed home run. It's his 99th career home run. That's going to be fun. Maybe he does it tonight. Him and Teo having small bounce back games. I'm not going to say they're back, but they certainly helped rewrite a little bit of the script over the weekend. Helped by their defense as well. Huge, huge thing that needs to come together. I don't know. It feels like over the last week or two, we've all been kind of like, Teoscar's future with this team seems like it's
mm-hmm.
already written itself. I'm not saying that he's... if he has the best September of his life, that changes. We do have Shai Davidi at 7. I'd be very curious to ask him what the future of Teoscar Hernandez looks like for the Blue Jays. We also have Gibby at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Former Blue Jays manager. He is a fan favorite. So if you're listening, you got to stay tuned till 8. He's on Twitter now. He managed Marcus Stroman. So we got a lot of perspective on the Stro show who... did all right last night.
That was vintage Stroman.
Yeah. People were like,
it didn't
wait,
look,
can we get him back?
It didn't look a lot different, right?
Can we get Kikuchi and him in a swap?
Well, there were some rumblings about a possible reunion, I think.
You know he would be just firing to get back here. He'd be on that private plane with Mike Stud
like,
in a minute.
And we like talk about like, why does he love Toronto so much?
What I forgot
we heard on
that
the
he, yeah,
broadcast
he had his baby here.
Exactly. Like, his family's from here. So it does make sense. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you look at the three-year deals that Stroman and Kikuchi got, just different categories in terms of money. Like, ideally,
right,
you make that move instead of the Kikuchi move. Ideally, the Kikuchi move doesn't happen. But it was nice to see. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see a lot of positivity. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see him pitch well, but the Blue Jays still get a victory.
That was the perfect narrative.
I mean, like, the games are too important to be like, oh, I'd like to see Marcus Stroman have a great start.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But
I didn't want him to up in the first inning. Let him have a moment, and now we don't have to talk about Marcus Stroman ever again.
I wanted to see the full Marcus Stroman experience, and that felt like it, where it's just like pitch to contact, mm-hmm. efficient, a little fire, but not too much fire.
Yeah.
Strikeouts didn't hit for us, I don't think.
I know, he got one.
Probably should have known that.
That's okay. I didn't put much money on it. He obviously had lots of post-game media. We had pre-game media yesterday when he talked about the border. Like, he went through customs. And they're like, yo, man, we're happy to have you back. I'm like, the border guys are like, they're nice now. I remember crossing the border every couple months when I went to school in the States. And you'd either get one that was like, hey, you play hockey in the States. Like, how is that? Like, congrats. And then you'd have the ones that are like, what's in your trunk?
Yeah, it's complete opposite ends of the spectrum for whatever reason. They're either overly chatty or you're terrified that you've
done literally
something
terrified. Wrong. I'm like, I don't have anything in here that would result in me getting in trouble. But you're thinking like, do I have like oranges in my bag? Yeah. Like, did I accidentally bring a piece of fruit over? So good to hear that.
Did I leave a smashed granola bar yeah. in the bottom of my backpack?
Oh, God. I've been lucky to never have any issues. I think as a girl, I'm like, hey, I play hockey. Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, Canada's game. What's up?
Well, it's a big lift, too, for you guys. The sticks taped up together. The hockey bag. I mean, I guess
I'm
like,
thinking of driving over. I wasn't even thinking of flying in.
Oh.
Flying in.
I don't think Stroman drove over.
No, I assume not.
But yes. Actually, the driving is more terrifying.
That's what I mean. I'm
because
picturing
you don't
driving
have, like,
over.
You don't have a full read on everything in your car. You like, there could be just, something under the seat
up,
that you have no idea is there.
Yeah, and you're, like, waiting in the lines, and you're like, how do I decide which like, line to go in? You're trying to, like, read the body language of the Border Patrol people. But once you're in that lane, like, you're in that lane. You can't be pulling out to a different mm-hmm. lane. So you're watching, and then if you're in the lane where the guy's taking a long time, you're getting anxious, or you're in the lane where he actually, like, gets out of the car and looks around, you're like, I'm screwed. I have nothing in this vehicle that I should be worried about, but there's a concern that someone stuck something under my car. Like, you just start the thinking.
I feel like
scary
everyone
thoughts.
Has a border story.
Yeah, text that in. I'm curious.
I wonder if, like, you're sort of graded out. It's like, this is an airport. This is an airport person. This is a border person. Mm. Because, like, the airport people they really love to chat.
I've had
more
airport
often than not.
Issues.
But at the border, there's not much chatting going on.
We knew this one border crossing when we were going to school. Like, we would never take the Peace Bridge. Like, kidding me? Take forever. Or, like, Queenston, Lewiston. Like, you're literally going to be sitting there for multiple hours.
So where'd you go?
We would cross over, like, Ogdensburg.
So way
Ogdensburg.
Like Quebec?
No, right by the border of New York. It's like St. Lawrence County. It's literally got one station.
Okay.
Like, you pull up and there's one man in the middle of the night and he asks you no questions. He's like, well, you got your visa? Where are you going? Have a good night.
Well, that's ideal, but it's also ideal for people who are
It's between
doing
Brockville and Cornwall, like middle of nowhere. So we used to cross there. Anyway, this is a long tangent. But Marcus Stroman, very thankful for his time in support last night. Here's him talking post game.
Since I landed here, there's been nothing but love from the fan base. It's been incredible. So I just want to say thank you to Canada, Toronto. From the time I landed at customs, you know, I mean, they were welcoming me in, and it's just been overwhelming with the show of support and love from back in the day. So just truly thankful to have spent my time here in Toronto for all those years. And it's truly an incredible experience playing for the Blue Jays. You have a whole country room for you. And like I said, I'll always feel Canadian at the bottom of it.
He literally listed the fans and border people in his thank you speech. That's it. I don't think he said the word family. I don't think he said Mike Studd. But, man, our border. Shout out to the Border Patrol that giving us a good rep. Thanks.
I mean, first and last that'll see, I guess. In and out. Mm-hmm. They represent us well. I mean, I'm sure they get excited too when Marcus Stroman
that would be, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you gotta act like a pro. Like, you've been there before. Hello, sir. Marcus Stroman. What do you had to go over the border for? how about it was pouring rain in the Rogers Center? That was a first.
Have you ever been in there when it's raining?
No, why? Has it ever rained in there before?
That stuff happens every now and then, doesn't it?
So I'm sitting on my balcony enjoying a water. And before my draft.
You don't have to censor yourself.
I'm enjoying an adult bevy before my big fantasy football draft last night. Just trying to dial in, you know, visualizing.
Still have to get to that.
Yeah. Oof, do we ever. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's gonna rain. Like, it's certainly the sky is dark and looming with also a pretty sunset. I don't know how it worked. And I'm sitting out on my balcony. I'm going to have to go inside. And then I read in the Twitter world that the Rogers Center is open. I'm seeing photos of people that are there saying it's going to be a beautiful night. The broadcast, they're like, oh, it's a beautiful night in Toronto. Like, what an opportunity to see this ball game. And then it starts, like, pissing rain. Like, it was bad. Like, they're showing fans in the stands. Obviously, nobody brought an umbrella to the Rogers Center or, like, a raincoat. And it was shocking. It was anybody there? Please.
I don't know why they're so cautious about it. Like, if there is a fraction of a chance.
They never open it.
They don't open it.
Where's like, the meteorologists?
That's not that big of a deal. Unless, like, the stadium just, like, can't handle. But it can. Like, if the drainage isn't good enough.
I don't know. I saw people becoming drainage experts on Twitter last night.
Oh, maybe it isn't good enough.
The drainage of the Rogers Center actually is quite poor. And
it may be. But, like, a little bit of rain isn't going to kill anyone. It's fine.
But I just think it was a stunning scene to see people like, we have a dome. Why is it raining? Like, some beautiful pictures came out of it. I know it was kind of fun narrative, but it certainly rained. Rained Looney Dogs, too. Another record was hit last night.
Really?
Another record was smashed. The Looney Dogs, you're making me proud. Everyone,
I don't know why I was so pessimistic about that.
Buddy, it's going to continue to grow. Like,
I feel like you're
pushing out the narrative so much.
So, like, crucial, and that you having a fantasy football draft instead would affect the numbers.
People send me, which is kind of gross, but people send me, like, photos of them eating hot dogs now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really need that, but I also love, like, that's part of my brand. I've only been to Looney Dogs once.
Part of your brand that I'm not envious of.
I've been to Looney Dogs once, and somehow I've become the face of Looney Dogs.
Really?
I've heard you talk about it so many times.
Because
I think it's amazing.
Only been there once.
How about those two guys? I tweeted this out that were wearing.
they were running up there. That wasn't real. Didn't they have like a checklist of how
they
many?
They had a checklist. Of
I don't
how
think
many,
that was real.
What you think they were just there
I think
for
they
show?
Were fabricating it. Yeah.
What? No way. I hope not.
Like it was.
You can't
it
be
was
fraudulent.
Early on, it was
Looney
at
Dogs.
Like 12.
Yeah, the ballpark opens 2 hours before the game, Justin. They
so
went in there. Grinding.
They're getting in early and housing dogs before.
Why would
else
you not? No lines. And then you can, if you start early. You
okay,
can,
what's the quality of these hot dogs?
Terrible. They're like.
I didn't expect you to be that honest.
Oh, they're, first of
I was
all.
Like, they're okay.
No, they're small. Like, that's why you can crush them. If you go to the grocery store today and you get that pack of hot dogs in like the little vacuum sealed suction.
You know, like the 12 pack.
The 12 pack.
Where they're jammed in there.
They're jammed. They're already cooked.
Yes.
This is what we're consuming.
Aren't all hot dogs cooked already?
Well, you buy sausages that aren't cooked. But yeah, right. Hot dogs are always cooked because I don't even want to know what's inside it raw.
I don't think
it's just like silicone. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Enjoy your breakfast sausages. So yeah, they're not great hot dogs, no offense. They're pumping out 46,000 of them.
They can't be gourmet.
But they don't, this is my complaint with the Looney Dogs. They don't even go, like they don't get grill marks. They are like coming right out of the bag onto a bun.
They're like lightly warmed in boiling water.
You know
that
little roller of hot dogs?
Okay.
That they just kind of flip, but there's not enough time. Like they don't roll on there long enough. They just get pressed on there and pressed in the bun.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is the bun quality must be, you know, they're going through a lot of buns. So it always opens up at the bottom. And then you have a sandwich. You don't have like the wrapping underneath that catches all the condiments. And for someone like myself that like I like to put some condiments on it to help with the flavoring. As JD would say, no, never put ketchup on a hot dog. I'm putting ketchup on it. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I will still go and
when the hot dog turns into a sandwich, like I'm okay with it because I'm not condiment guy.
Of course you're not.
Like a light drizzle of ketchup is really the only thing I can handle.
So you are team ketchup though.
But if you put too much, it would literally disgust me. So I'm like, I can't be team ketchup if like the slightest.
You want a dusting.
Yeah.
Like a little drizzle, like the rain.
Small line across that you can barely see is what I'm looking for.
Like the small like line in like COVID test where it's just faint. That's what you want.
A faint dusting of ketchup.
Chris from London.
I don't think you could dust ketchup.
I had four I feel sick from last night. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. Four is pretty, like, that's a respectable amount. It's fine.
I mean,
I don't think you gouged yourself.
You crushed that, didn't you? What was your total?
Don't worry about it. Bob and Markham. Third game in the dome, it rained as they were closing the lid right at home plate, and they sort of stopped the play for a bit. They were unsure what to do. Well, I guess, like, you're just like, this isn't a common occurrence.
It is funny how, like, the players are, like, stopped in their tracks by it. Like, you see it a lot.
Stunned.
Like, you guys play in rain a lot. I don't know why it's, like, this, like, crazy thing. I guess it's a little novelty, but I don't know.
Dan and Whitby, I was in the flight deck last night, so I was covered, but it was really cool to see the sudden downpour out towards the uncovered part of the field. Yeah, I'm sure it was, Dan. Definitely a first for me. Dan, maybe Dan was the guy in the Looney Dogs costume. Middle of the flight deck.
I mean, the good thing about that costume, it was double as a parka.
That's really, you know what? Halloween's around the corner. Halloween is around the corner. I want to be a Looney Dog. You know what I'm going to do? Is you know those loonies from Dollarama that are chocolate?
Yes.
Somehow I'm going to incorporate that into a hot dog costume. Like wear it like a, or like glue them on, or like wear it like a sash. Like, you know, like Miss America, but I'm going to be loony dogged out. I need a hot dog outfit and I need loonies from Dollarama.
Well, I've already criticized those guys, but if they are listening, I'm sure they won't be too offended. You're going to have to figure out where they got that hot dog costume.
I'll message them. Stephen
Alora.
They'll
probably need to message you.
I'll find them. If you put something on Twitter, people will find these people. Stephen Alora, last pack of hot dogs was only 10, not 12. I didn't pay attention when I cooked them for a family dinner, so youngest son had to eat cereal. Shame on Schneiders.
Well, there's the big controversy, too, of like the package not having the same amount.
As the
package
buns.
Of dogs.
It is a scandal. They do that on purpose, Justin. 100%. So you have to buy multiple of one of those things. I know it's the scam.
It's so greasy. Like that is just. I mean, not all hot dogs come in the same amount of packaging, or not the same like volume of hot dogs within the package.
Too much bun.
Literally, a couple people have to go no bun.
Well,
unless you're buying too many buns.
Chris from London says too much bun. Agreed.
Too much bun on the Looney Dogs?
Just like too much bun in general. I think it's probably from the Looney Dogs. Here's a good one. Brad from Barrie. Driving across the border with my now wife, and the officer asked how we knew each other. And being a little nervous about crossing, I told him the story of the night we met. Definitely not what he meant. He listened to my spiel and after said nothing and handed the passports and we were on our way.
Pretty good. There is
hopefully it's a good story.
There is like some people are so terrified when they
get so nervous.
I don't. I think like
nobody wants to be detained in that room, regardless. Like it's like hours.
Some people are like so frightened that they lie when they shouldn't. Like what?
They just buy
we're bringing
anything?
Something back. No, we don't
have
anything.
You were there for a month. Did
and
you
then
buy
they
anything?
Look.
Not a single thing. About nothing.
Yeah. Then they look and there's four grocery bags in the back with like things from whatever Trader Joe's or Target or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they get like scolded and flagged. You just got to be honest.
They know
but
you bought something.
There's something about how they look that it's hard to be honest.
Yeah, they're scary. Will from Oshawa. I was at the very first game at the Sky Dome in 89. Wow. And it started to rain during the game, so they closed the dome, but it got stuck right over home plate. And the ump and the batters and catchers were not impressed. That's pretty impressive. The very first game at Sky Dome.
I think embrace the rain a little bit. Maybe address the drainage with this multi-million-dollar upgrade we got planned here.
Man, people love to talk about Looney Dogs in the text line. Pierre from Maple. You got to put two hot dogs in one bun. Limit those carbs. Totally agree. That's the keto move, Pierre.
That thing's turning into a sandwich quickly with two of them.
Okay, a couple more, and then we got to take a break because the A-list is fire. Was in Florida in May, and they were selling hot dog packs of 5 hot dogs. And you can only get bags of buns in 6. The conspiracy is everywhere. The people know.
They do.
Even in Florida, it's happening.
Here's the thing. I'm sure the Looney Dogs great for novelty.
Well, they're trying their best.
Great to, you know, great to have a cheap snack at the game. But the dog's outside, supporting small business too.
Oh yeah,
they're so good.
That sausage.
Like, there's no way I could pass it because I'm going to get loony dogs. Like, I couldn't. They're too good outside.
My brother and I were crossing to go. This is not me reading. This is not my text. My brother and I were crossing to go to a Bills game. Instead of handing them my ID, I handed her my health card. She immediately closed her booth and said, "Follow her to the building." We were there for an hour and they tore my car apart. All was good though, Brennan and Barry. Don't make one single mistake. Maintain eye contact. Say please, thank you. Like, you have to be on the ball.
Well, here's this probably will get the text line going. But like, hockey teams that are going across, like for a 3-day trip in Pittsburgh or Buffalo or whatever, and the parents are trying to like hide things in hockey bags.
So my parents.
I'm sure a lot of people have experienced like one of the dads getting aggressive.
I don't
with
want to
something.
Put my parents on blast, but
the entire team out waiting because one dad had to have whatever from like a big thing
craft
of tobacco,
beers.
Like cigarettes or something
no,
like that.
No, they would put those handles of vodka.
Well, yeah,
like massive. Like in the States, and when I lived there, you can get a handle of vodka for literally $13.
Little Timmy's bag number 12 has a 60 of vodka.
Timmy's carrying his bag out of the car. It feels so heavy. What's going on? Dad's like, I'll unpack your bag. No problem, Timmy.
I remember one holdup we had. I can't remember who was the culprit. Can't remember what it was. They probably like hid it from us. But dads take advantage for sure of the hockey bags at the bottom of the bus.
I've always been a respectable citizen and never once broken the law. I'd just like to publicly state that. Thank you.
Okay.
Please keep it coming, though. I love the stories. Everyone's fired up this morning. Vibes are good. People are happy. All right? Except for fans of a Nebraska football team. That's next on the A-List. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Justin Cuthbert and me. The Looney Dogs Queen. It's only been once, but
after one appearance.
Well, we got a.
Those two guys are coming for your throne yesterday.
I'm glad to share it.
Okay.
Ailish, I'm serious. The Jays and the hot dog people should be paying you. Too funny.
Yeah, they probably should.
Royalties for every time I mention it. Okay, I teased at the break. Don't get any ideas from this next one, okay, listeners? Because I know that we have the ability to leave voicemails and have people call in. That's not where this is going on the A-List.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
College football's back. I don't know if you're a big college football guy. You dabble. Sure.
I dabble. If I get a free Saturday, you can throw some bets down.
I mean, I used to like going to college football games, even though it was the Ivy League and it was the lowest level of college football.
Still college football.
Hey, Dartmouth.
National championship.
Dartmouth
a big
last
day on the,
year
on the
was
calendar.
Ivy League champs.
Oh, I heard you and Ross Tucker going on about that.
Yeah, you remember that?
That just brought back some memories.
The Ross Tucker versus Ailish show.
Yes.
And we had to send us those bars that that's a throwback. If you're listening and you remember that. You're loyal. Definitely. Okay. Don't bet on Nebraska, though. The Cornhuskers. They have really been letting their fans down early in the season. Scott Frost, who was the coach, is one of the most... He's got, like, those wanted posters around Nebraska, which is something I actually kind of...
We haven't even reached week one, and he's already got wanted posters. That's the problem with playing so early, playing in the week zero. If something goes bad, it's like all the attention's on you.
They were playing in a game in Ireland. They had 11-point leads twice and blew those leads with questionable coaching decisions. Mm-hmm.
onside kick, right?
Something like that. I didn't get the stats.
Yeah, I believe they were up 11 and he decided to onside kick. And it was, you know, obviously they didn't recover and they lost the game. I think they lost the game.
They lost. So the loss shocked many in the sports betting world who had backed the 10.5-point spread. A certain college football insider had really put a lot of faith in the bettors, so much so that there was a voicemail chain, or people were allowed to leave voicemails for this insider after they lost lots of money. Here are some of the voicemails.
Finally realized why it's called week zero, because that's how much money I make every single week. Zero. But hey, it's Nebraska football. I mean, we should expect this, right? Why do I keep spending money on this team?
I'm at a wedding. Last weekend, I would attend a wedding until the middle of January, by the way. All I got to hear is how much you guys love Nebraska. They're going over the pond to make a statement. The only statement they're making is that Scott Frost sucks. They're terrible.
Living in Nebraska is a f***ing travesty, guys. I need a better team. I'm done.
Scott Frost. Scott Frost. That's it. Scott Frost.
Living in Nebraska is a travesty. Man, that was so good. There's some people that are definitely in one, leaving these voicemails.
So this is like a tout, like a guy that's selling picks?
Yeah, he's like a college football insider, and I guess he obviously steered people the wrong way.
Okay, maybe not a tout then, but just like a wake and rake stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't ever do this to us, okay?
We would never advocate for Nebraska.
He put Nebraska in the preseason top 25. Like, he went all in on Nebraska turning it around, and that's why everybody was really pissed off, because they blew 2 11-point leads and lost him a lot of money. So they left him all these voicemails.
Yeah, I'm obviously no Nebraska expert, but I've heard bad things about Scott Frost. Like, in terms of the quality of coach.
Ah. I was gonna say, what?
You know, when there's one game on, when it's week zero, and you're just waiting to bet on college football so badly, like, I can see why these guys, what he called it, week zero, because he makes zero money. I mean, you get overly excited. You got to be careful week ones and week zeros.
You don't want to get off on a bad foot, because then you feel like you're just throwing money around.
But then Bills and Rams Thursday night.
Okay, well,
I know
fine.
We're going to get overly excited here. We just, this show might have to open up the voicemails after a wake and rake.
No, unless it's good. I would love to have happy voicemails. Like, we play them and it's like, you guys make my day. You made me so much money. I took my girl out for a date. And
there you go. I mean, you guys get the slips, stubs. What do you call them?
Betting slips. Yeah.
Slips. You get the slips.
What is that, pay stub?
maybe there should be like a little voicemail. I mean, you could pick and choose. You have to.
That's
sift,
a lot of work on Josh. I'm looking at him. He's shaking his head. He's like, I don't think I want that. But Blair,
God, please, no, no.
It's all about the content, though.
I think it would be good.
Content over everything.
You know what you can do, and I'm not encouraging this, but it is something you can do, is you can leave voice notes in Instagram messages.
Oh, you shouldn't have opened that door.
Not that I'm going to open them, but you can send voice notes in Instagram DMs.
I don't know. I think it's a decent idea. Everyone reveling in your women's worlds picks, especially after Monday's show. Lots of money was made.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Yesterday wasn't as good, but I feel like a lot of the analysis is there.
Hey, you can only put in the grind and
stick to it.
Give you tips, and sometimes they don't work. That's okay. I think so. We have a audio clip of Serge Ibaka. Has a rap song right now that is absolutely rising up the charts. Like, it's red hot. I don't know if the people on the podcast are going to be able to hear it, but that's too bad. We're just going to quickly play it, okay?
À l'ombre des lumières et du show business, j'ai fait que prier dans le noir.
Serge Ibaka, a.k.a. Mahfouzman, Anouk Sapir for the motherland. Miss Ave Class. Keba. Nino. Keba, keba, keba. Vamos!
Allons des lumières et du show business. J'ai fait que prier dans le.
All right, that's good, Josh. If you're listening on the podcast, it's called Champions. and it has 35 million streams on Spotify.
Wow. When that started, I was like, you never tell that that's Serge Ibaka. And then he starts rapping.
Then it comes like, in, okay, you're like, that's Serge. Ibaka. It's pretty good.
It's decent. I think when it's in a different language, it's harder to nitpick. Well, but that sounds in French, pretty good.
French is such a romantic language. You're just like, that sounds nice, Serge. Whatever you're saying.
And the Strowman stuff wasn't bad.
Well, like, we were talking about how bad Athlete Rap was. Stro Show last night and his rap with Mike Studd versus going up against Serge Ibaka in his little poppy rap track. I don't know. Go stream him. Vote.
Anything Serge, I'm behind, generally.
This one's tough. I don't know if anyone cares about putting stuff up on the Jumbotron. If you've ever done that, sent in a message. I know if you want to get your name up on the Blue Jays Jumbo video board, I think you have to make a Jays Care donation, which is actually a really nice idea.
Shout out Jays Care.
Shout out Jays Care. Oh, we actually have something later in the show about the broadcast auction to promote, which is tonight. Anyway, so Brewers are having a nice home game, and they're putting up messages on the video board. I will read some of them. And one of them is not the same as the others. Okay. Happy birthday, Cody, from your B-Day buddy, Mel. Happy birthday, Mel, from your B-Day buddy, Cody. Happy anniversary, Mike and Ronley. Mark, your friendship means the world to me. Let's not wreck it.
They don't have what Mel and Cody have.
No, that is... Oh, it's tough.
That's tough.
It's tough. I know it's probably like goofy and silly, but it went viral. So viral that the Brewers were losing in the eighth inning, down two. And apparently the narrative was, we looked up and said, let's win one for Mark. Kristen Yelich said that post game that they're down 5-3 the Pirates. They saw this thing during the game and then Mark, let's do it for Mark. And it worked. They end up winning.
I love that. I was going to say I'm skeptical that it's real. Like someone just.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
something funny.
It's funny and you get viral and people care
and
about
it's
the
like,
Brewers.
It's not like so specific or so over the top that it would immediately be like red flag. Like you could. I understand why they would jump on it. Certainly fodder for the social media account. I'm sure they were all over that. The Brewers social media, but that
fun.
The team saw it, laughed,
and they noticed it. Like that's kind of fun.
They're gonna be playing for Mark all year, I think. The rest of the year, it's gonna be for Mark. And if Mark does exist, Mark's probably gonna get some shine from this too.
Mark
might want to conceal his identity.
Yeah, poor guy.
If indeed he has been friend zoned,
we'll never know unless Mark decides to speak out publicly.
I bet Mark takes this opportunity to get a little 15 minutes.
We'll see. Nate in Ottawa. The Huskers should have beat Northwestern hands down. Scott Frost should have been fired after that loss to Northwestern to lose an 11-point lead twice. Screams to Scott's poor football IQ. This guy was definitely, Nate left a voicemail.
And I think it was that onside kick. You're leading a game by 11, week zero. Like, it's not like the Super Bowl or something like that, where you're the dog and you're trying to, like, keep momentum. Like, you were the better team in a relatively meaningless game, but I mean, every college football game is fairly important. Seeding, season, all that. But like, why? All the voicemails are like justified. That's just a ridiculous decision.
Here's one that I'm going to put myself in a uncomfortable position. We've had somebody text in quite a lot. He says good morning to us every morning. I haven't said his name on the air because I'm worried of mispronouncing it.
Okay.
He says, you can try my name, Eilish. I forgive you in advance. Trust me, I would have never gotten your name right. I wouldn't have even come close. Give mine a try. I bet you get it right.
All right. Let me count you down or something. The floor is yours.
I'm nervous. I believe that your name is Giacomo.
What?
We talked about this yesterday.
How did you blow that?
I know. I know that Daniele is
I
listening.
Forgot, too, and we went over this. It's Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Is it not? Well, he's got to at least
Yeah, Daniel texted me, yikes.
What did you just say?
Giacomo.
Giacomo?
Giacomo. It's Giacomo.
Giacomo.
I know. Giacomo. And I wanted to see Daniele instantly. There it is. Yikes.
Okay, what did Giacomo say?
Well, he's going to text in. Maybe I'm
no, I mean, like,
him.
If he... he just said good morning from Giacomo?
Giacomo. He always says good morning to us.
Okay, I thought it was
he
like
lives in Windsor.
I thought he had a comment.
At least I didn't say Giacomo. Giacomo.
I would have preferred that over
yeah,
Giacomo.
I think. Oh, bummer. Hey, you live and learn. Lots of people in the text line that have easy enough names, but... With the name Ailish, I've been through it.
Yeah, that's why you're a little sensitive to it.
I just got nervous. Let's take a break. I got to go recover from that. Shai Davidi after five. The break. Got that one right. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.